because of you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. And Father, I pray if there's someone here right now still chained up, if they're still in bondage, if they're still living in fear, that right now, Holy Spirit of God, you will call them to life. Call them to freedom. Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart, speak to their mind, cause faith to arise within them. Cause them, Lord, to believe, maybe for the first time ever, in you, Jesus, and in your resurrection, and in your power. Father, it is our prayer that each person here becomes a radical, no-compromise worshiper of you. Someone who declares your greatness by the way we live every day, Lord. That's our desire. That's our aim. That's our goal. So, Father, help us. Guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning. Man, it is great to see you guys. Thank you for coming to help us celebrate 5 years of grace as a church. We're going to do some things a little different today. Just going to spend a few minutes together in here, and then we're all going to go eat. Amen? Woo! Absolutely. And please stay and eat. We have got plenty of food. Please stay. Please stay. Please eat, and eat as much as you want, because I'm not taking it home. So please stick around and do that. We do this every year. We pause for just one Sunday, and we remind ourselves of our story. How many of you know that it's healthy to remember what God's done in your life? Amen? It's healthy to recount that. It's healthy to remember that. We started Grace 5 years ago this weekend. And amen? That's awesome. And I think just as we get started, how many were here at Lemon Heights? Because just so you know the story, this building was the home of Lemon Heights Baptist Church for many, many decades. And by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit moving on the hearts of the people who were there, they decided to do something that's unprecedented, really, in church life. They decided to invest their buildings that they worked hard, they paid a lot of money, they invested a lot of time, sweat, and tears into this facility, into this location. And the good people of that congregation heard the Lord. And the Lord directed them to entrust to us a brand new church, not knowing if it was going to work or not, but to entrust to us these facilities. And by God's grace, the Lord has blessed that. But if you were a part of Lemon Heights, if you could just lift up your hand so we could see you. Where are you? If you were a part of Lemon Heights, let's tell these folks we love them and appreciate them. Because we absolutely would not be here if it was not for them and the Lord speaking to them and them being, here's a cool word that's unique in our culture today, selfless. Isn't that a cool word? Yeah, it should be true of every believer, right? But so oftentimes it's selfish rather than selfless. And the good folks of Lemon Heights were incredibly selfless. And they looked at what God could do, and they believed, and they invested and entrusted these wonderful facilities to us. And so every single year that I'm the pastor, we're going to say thank you, because none of this would be happening were it not for those good folks. And so we love them, and we're thankful that the Lord moved on their hearts, and we're so thankful to be here. So why Grace? Why did we start a place called Grace? We started a place called Grace for three reasons. There were three things that became known to us. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are really sort of the theme verse. Let me read those to you. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one can boast." And then go on and add verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship," talking about God's, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So there's a couple of things I want to remind us about grace. The word grace, first of all, means unmerited favor. It means there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, no good works you could participate in to earn the favor and blessing of God. Now, why is that important? Because prior to really understanding grace, you have to understand sin. You have to understand that everyone in this room is a sinner. Matter of fact, we need to start like a Sinners Anonymous group, right? Are you with me? Because everybody, "Hi, I'm Terry, I'm a sinner." And then you guys would say, "Hi, Terry," right? Okay, right. So and that's But that's true. Everyone is in need of a Savior. No one walks through life without sin in their life. And your sin might not be my sin. My sin might not be your sin. You may sin less than me. Don't get uppity. That's a pretty low bar, right? But you know, everybody's sin is real, including mine. And so we needed a place that didn't hide that, that didn't excuse it. You know, we live in a culture now where we want to excuse everything, right? It's never our fault. If I do something wrong, it's somebody else's fault. If I do something wrong, it's somebody else's fault. We never really take the ownership in our culture. But here we take ownership. When I sin, it's mine. The devil didn't make me do it. You didn't make me do it. You know, the kids didn't make me do it, though sometimes they can make me say ugly words, but I confess, right? My kids. But you know, it's my sin. I own it. Now, to understand grace, you have to understand sin. If you understand you've been saved and redeemed by grace, you have to first understand you needed a Savior. And you needed a Savior because of sin. Scripture says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6 that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. In other words, we've made it up as we go and we've gone our own path. But the Lord's laid on him, talking about Jesus, the sin and the iniquity of us all. Everyone is in need of a Savior. No one gets a pass on that. And so we needed a church that didn't apologize for that, that didn't try to hide that, that didn't excuse it. But we also needed a church that understood what grace is really all about. Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior, grace comes in and says you can never earn the favor of God. You can stop doing this, don't do that, start doing this, and you're still going to come up short. Because grace says you can never fix the problem in and of yourself. We needed a church that really believed Ephesians chapter 2. It is by the grace, the unmerited favor of God reaching down to us that has redeemed us. And no apology for that. God is the author and the perfecter of our faith and our salvation. He is the one who completes that work, not we ourselves. We needed a church that was unapologetic with the gospel, that said everyone's in need, everyone needs the gospel, and this is going to be a place where we declare it, that the gospel is for you. Well, you don't know what I did last night, okay? You don't know what I'm going to do tonight. Fair enough. The gospel's still for you. The gospel is still for you, and it can change your life from the inside out. You may never be perfect, and, you know, I'm not going to be perfect, but it's not about perfection. It's about progress. You can be better tomorrow than you are today. You can walk closer to the Lord next week than you did last week. You can make that progress. And here at Grace, we just believe that. And so grace started because we understand everybody's in need of a Savior, and no one can earn it. And, oh, by the way, that grace only comes from God himself. There's not multiple ways to heaven. There's not multiple ways to salvation. There's not six different roads you can get on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father but by me. There is only one way. We unapologetically, in this age of pluralism and tolerance and everybody getting along, and we're not an angry group of people. I think you experienced that in worship, right? We're a pretty happy group around here. but we are pretty narrow when it comes to the message of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes into the Father but by me. We unapologetically stand every single week and say there's only one way to heaven, and that way is through the person of Jesus Christ. And it's because of God's grace that you get to access the Father. It's because of his unmerited favor that you get to do that. Well, we also believe that this message of grace needed to be transferred from generation to generation. Over in the book of Hebrews, it says about David, it says, David ministered faithfully to his generation, and then he was no more. Okay, that means he died, right? So David ministered faithfully to his group of people, and then it was time for him to go on. We believe that healthy churches give the ministry to the next generation. We believe that healthy churches pass things off to those who are coming behind. Right now, think about this. Right now, just in the Baptist world, we're not Baptist, but just in the Baptist world, I got their statistics. 100 churches a month are closing their doors. Across evangelical Christianity, 1,000 churches a month are closing their doors. Now, I'm not here to judge that. I don't know all the situations. I'm sure there's extenuating circumstances oftentimes. But one of the things for sure is this. Churches have not done a great job at giving the ministry to the next group coming along. They've been real good at saying, this is my flavor of Christianity. This is how I want it. This is what I want. And so guess what? This is how we're going to do it. And then what happens? People don't want that anymore, and the churches become empty. So we just, when we started Grace, we just understood that we all have a shelf life. There's an expiration date on all of us, right? One day, we're going to expire. And we need to have been in the process of giving this ministry to the next generation coming along. That's what the Lord would have us do. You see, every generation deserves that, but here's the most important thing. God expects us to. God expects us to give the ministry away so the gospel continues on from generation to generation. Now, in that, some things don't change. The gospel never changes. The word of God never changes. Those things don't change. But the personalities, the people you see, the music you hear, some of that sort of has to change as you give things away to the generation. Let me just ask you this. How cool was it to see all of our students up here leading worship today? Oh, was that awesome? And one day they'll be old. One day they'll be old. That's right. Just think about it, guys. You're all going to get bald and fat like me, huh? Embrace it. That's awesome. And here's the cool thing about that. Here's the cool thing about that. We have built into their lives the expectation to give it away to the people who will come behind them. And so when we're in heaven, and we'll be in heaven by that point, when we're in heaven, Grace Fellowship will be continuing to grow and impact our community if we keep the scripture central, grace is our message, and if we have in our DNA giving the ministry away for the sake of the gospel. The gospel is important enough to give away, and nobody should hoard it. It just absolutely would be horrible. So I wanted to start our time here just for a few minutes, giving you sort of the theological background of why we started Grace. It was driven by a desire to have a church that is biblical, that is gospel-centered, that's about grace, that gives the ministry away to younger generations. And then finally, and I don't know how to say it, but just to be honest, everybody needs a place to get up because everybody falls down. We needed a safe place to get up. We needed a safe place that when you sin, when you falter, when you make bad calls, you need a place to run to, not run from. We try real hard, if you're a guest with us today, to become a people that when you struggle, this is the first place you think to run to, not to run from. It is interesting, isn't it? If you look at the life of Jesus, sinners ran to Jesus. Religious people ran away from him. But isn't it interesting that in church, too oftentimes, the religious people run in and the hurting people run out? Well, we want to reverse that. We want to be a place that when everybody else is done with you, you're just right for us. Right? When everybody has walked out on you, that's the time we want to walk in. Because that's when God does the inside work, the work from the inside out, and great transformation happens in your life. And so that's sort of the theological background of how Grace got started and why we started. I'm going to ask Ryan to come up right now, and we're going to tell you a little bit about the practical journey. And some of you haven't heard this, and so just hopefully it'll be, you're going to grab one of those? Okay. Yeah, it's sort of informative on the nuts and bolts and how this thing got started. So, Ryan, take us pre me coming here doing Sunday nights. So
pre this, Pastor Terry and I were serving in a church across the bridge in San Mateo, and the people of Lemon Heights, I remember they called Pastor Terry and said, "Hey, we want to think about the next steps for our church, and where do we go?" So Pastor Terry started coming down here on Sunday nights. Yep. and helping them think through the past, because Lemon Heights has a great history and a great heritage of ministering to our community. And they were like, we want to continue that. And so Pastor Terry helped them remember that, which I think is completely biblical. If you look in the Old Testament, God told the nation of Israel multiple times to set up altars, or not altars, but set up memorials, pillars, to remember this is what God did at this place. And so he came back to help them with that. And through all that, they ended up saying, hey, what if we just asked you to come and be the pastor and gave everything over to you? And I'll never forget that phone call from Terry that Sunday night. He's like, what do we do? And I said, run. Because my wife and I moved back to Palatka. She grew up here. We moved back, and we felt God asking us to plant a church, and we did, and lasted all of 6 months. I told him, I said, I can tell you how to kill a church real quick. But what was amazing about that was that some of the families who were with us at that church, God really began to renew their life and begin to move in with them. And God did some great work in them in 6 months. And as I could look at it as a failure and tell Terry, hey, these are the landmines not to step on, God said, hey, I've got something else in store. And God began to bring us along in the journey together to start this. And to be completely honest, we were a little selfish in starting the church, because we started it for our kids. Pastor Terry said, you know, hey, it's about the next generation. And he had three that were in youth group. I had one with another one on the way. And the Smiths had, I think, 12 in their family. 13, that's what it was. I mean, they had to go get a 12-passenger van that, you know, they've since sold. But that was the church bus for forever, which was great. But, I mean, we started it for our kids. We said, hey, they need a place where they can come and experience God and worship him in spirit and in truth and understand that he loves them. And so we decided, hey, let's walk this journey. And man, it was great. Sunday nights, I remember meeting in here that first summer. We would have dinner over at Taco Bell after we were done. We would like carry the meeting over. And just God began to work, and he began to move. And what I love is looking around and seeing all y'all's faces. Some of you were with us in the beginning. Some of you weren't and have just now started to join us. But what an amazing family. I know that in this room, when I personally go through something, and I feel like I can be honest, because I'm going to tell you, Pastor Terry will tell you this, one of the loneliest professions is a pastor. Because you feel like, man, I can't be honest. I can't be open about my brokenness. I can't be open about my past and my failures. And listen, I've needed a place to feel like I could get back up again. Because I've experienced things. I've gone through depression. I've gone through things that, you know, have been in my past that the church would frown upon as a pastor. You can't have those feelings. But man, I know in this place, there are people that if when I go through something, y'all are gathering around to pray and to pick up and to not judge, but to just love. And that's what's been great, is that's part of our values. That's why you see these banners around the room. And we're going to add some more to them over the next couple of years. Just continue to bring in the values of what it is we believe and what it is we stand for. And so this is a great ride. It's not over with yet. That's what I love too, is man, God is just beginning to work. You see the empty chairs around you? Those need to be filled. We have two services, and both services have empty chairs. And the question is, who is it that we need to invite that needs to come and experience grace? I told the kids that this morning. I was like, hey, tell us your grace story. Tell us how you came to grace. And they're looking at me going, you mean grace is in God's grace or grace is in the church? And I was like, it's pretty cool that it has double meanings, you know, but we all need to experience that grace. And so I look forward to this next year, and I look forward to the years after that, to what God is doing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Thanks, Ryan. Want to show you a couple things where we've come in 5 years. If you have your programs, you have a couple of inserts. Grab this insert right here. Now, again, 5 years. Not going to read all these to you, but just want to direct your attention. You look at them maybe this afternoon, or maybe even now. Just look at a little bit. Look at the ministries that in 5 years God's raised up from our church. And and ministries that the Lord's called us to partner with. There's no way I do this. There's no way Ryan does this. You do this. You hearing God, experiencing the Lord, being faithful to his call on your life, you've responded and built and helped us connect with this many ministries. And there's some on the back too, so make sure you turn on the back. And as I we were preparing this over the last couple of weeks to share with you, it's just amazing in 5 short years how God has amplified our influence in the lives of people. And he's allowed us to partner with people and just be a friend to them. I mean, we live in a day now where the church has to find every way they can to intersect people's lives. And on the back, you'll see some community partnerships. These are folks just from the community that we open our building to and say, hey, come, and we've got room, we've got space. Let us be a blessing to you. And they come and they participate and they use our facility. And this is just a wonderful thing. So when you attend here, when you give your tithes and your offerings here, this is what you're helping to do. It is not going for nothing. It is making an influence throughout our community. So that's just a truly wonderful thing. At 5 years, I promised the church and the elders that I would do an assessment of our church inside out, top to bottom. And I gave the first part of that report 2 weeks ago. And so I promised you to finish that today. And one was our ministry update. And so here's what we have for you. Here's what we've done. We think that's a pretty good start for 5 years. Not over. We need to impact our community more. So we're always looking for more ways to do that. So there's that. And also told you we would finish up and talking about our groups a little bit. And you see our shirts. Who has a green shirt? Eric, stand up. See these green shirts? These are our life group shirts. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's why home groups are important. Because God never intended you to walk alone. You walk alone because you choose to. And when you walk alone, bad things can happen and bad things can become worse. And so we have groups here. We have Sunday school, and we have great Sunday schools. That's one way to connect. We have a lot of ministries for you to connect with that you can meet people and build relationships here. But we also have home groups. And home groups are there so you really don't have to walk alone. It's epidemic in the church. People come and they check in and then they leave and they live isolated and insulated. And when they begin to hurt and struggle, they wonder why no one cares. If you don't let us have a relationship with you, we can't show you we care. But if you'll let us have a relationship with you, we'll show you that we care. Particularly when you need us, we'll be there, I promise. So connect in our groups. Groups are starting, Jennifer, this afternoon, this evening? Yeah. Yeah, stand up, Jennifer. This is Jennifer. She leads our groups. Hey. When we leave here in a minute, we're going to leave here in a minute, and we're going to go down to the gym. There's a sign-up table. You want to tell them about that? The gym. Yeah, the gym. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, awesome. And then finally, some folks, during this fifth year, one of the things I did was sort of assess my tenure here, and the elders did that as well. And announced a couple weeks ago, the elders are not getting rid of me, so I'm here for a little while longer, so that's a good thing. Right? And so what does my ministry look like going forward? Well, obviously, I'll still be pastoring, so you'll be seeing me here a lot. But the other thing God has done is he's led me to start a ministry. Actually, the ministry started about 2.5 years ago with Hope FM, and it's called Grace for Your Journey. And here's a little insert. I need your prayers. I need you to pull this out, and I need you to fill it out and drop it in the box as you leave today or in the offering plate in just a minute. I need your prayers. If nothing else, I need you to pray as God leads in this new ministry. Now, some people have said, oh, well, I get it. You're going to build this ministry, then you're leaving the church. No. Don't be afraid to pray. I'm not. You know, that's not what God's doing here. But it does take our message to other states, and it takes our message beyond our walls, which we want to do. We want to get the message of grace and the gospel to as many people as we can. So what does this next phase of ministry look like for me after 5 years? Well, it'll be radio. We're on 5 stations now. We're working to increase that. So there'll be the radio presence. Second, there'll be regional Bible studies. Got one coming up in Ohio. Got one going to be in Raleigh, Durham, and one in the spring in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So there'll be Bible studies that, again, not leaving here, but will be gone a little bit as I, you know, God gives opportunity to teach and preach. And so as you pray, as you social media support, as you, if God leads you to financially support, you help us take that step. And then the third thing that the Lord has put on my heart, which is probably 3 to 4 years down the road, before we can really start work on it in earnest, but just so you could be praying, is we're going to have a retreat in a retreat area for pastors who struggle and are in trouble. Because I've been that pastor. And I needed a place to go. And I couldn't find a place. So if God will allow, we're going to have a place. We're looking for a place now, just an area. It'll be in this general area, probably over toward the beach. We're going to buy a place. Pastors are going to be able to come with their family for no cost to them and stay a week if they're not in real trouble, but 2 weeks if they need a real break to get their thoughts together. And I'll be meeting with them and be their friend and be a safe person to talk to. Understand when I tell you this, leadership recovery is something the church has been really bad at across the country, and we want to be really good at it, and so a couple of years down the road is when we'll start on that in earnest. I throw it out to you so you could be praying about it, and maybe God would call you to help or have some words to speak to me. I'm a good listener on how that works, but we just don't want pastors to be thrown away. We just don't want that. And so we're going to try to help when we can. And I think with my journey, you know, I think I've got a little bit of credibility in that and can speak to it and can help some brothers who are in need and who are struggling. And it's messy. It's not clean. It isn't pretty. It isn't pious work. It's ministry work. And so that's the work God's called grace to. And that's sort of my next several years. So if you would, fill it out. Pray for me at least. Please pray. If you're a social media person, you know, you can help us on social media. That's a real, real big help to be sure. 5 years of pastoring here with you has been one of the greatest joys of my life. And I want to thank you for coming, for being a part. I want to thank you for using your gifts and your talents and your abilities. I want to thank you for many of you working 2 and 3 full-time jobs and coming here and serving on Sunday. Thank you. We don't keep the doors open without you. So thank you for your commitment to a vision of taking the gospel to hurting people and loving people right where they are, right like they are, and trusting the Lord to grow them and move them and shape them and change them. So thank you for being a part of this for sure. Know this, you are loved by your Heavenly Father, and you are certainly loved by me. So thank you. I love you. We're going to pray. And we're going to take up an offering, I think, right fast. Are we? No, let's just do it on the way out. We'll just take up our offering as we leave. But after we pray, we're going to eat. So if you don't know where to go eat, go out these doors, take a right, go all the way down. You cannot miss the gym. It's a really big building on the left, right? So just go out here, take a right, and we'll be in the gym. We're going to go ahead and pray here. But if you would, please take those, your bulletin too. If you have prayer requests, this is how we know how to pray for you. Let me thank you. The last few weeks, you guys have been so good about turning in prayer requests. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That guides me on how to pray for you. And so please take a minute before you walk out, fill out your prayer request, put it in one of the boxes. You see the metal boxes, they're secure. So you could put your offering in there as well. Please put your offering in there if you will. And it's secure, so it is safe. And please put your prayer requests. If you're a guest, please give us your information so we can send you a thank you note and tell you how glad we are that you came to visit with us today. Next week, we'll be back to regular times. We'll have our 9:20 service, our 10:30, so we'll be back to normal. And so everybody will, you know, breathe, you know, better because their routine will be back. But thank you for working with us today, to be sure. Man, we love you so much, and we're so glad you're here. Stand with us, if you will. Let's pray together, and then let's go eat. Well, Father, we love you, and we thank you for today and for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. And now, Lord, as we go eat, we thank you for the food, for everybody who prepared, for those who worked so hard to get the tables ready. Lord, thank you for that. And now, Father, we do pray for each and every person here, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would speak to them, that you would draw them closer to yourself, that, Father, you would change them from the inside out. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, they know about you, maybe they could, you know, do pretty good on Jeopardy, on, you know, the God category and all that, but, Lord, they don't know you personally. I pray that right now, they would still their mind before you, and they would pray this. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, and God's calling you, right here, here's how you move toward the Lord and enter that relationship. Just pray right there where you are. God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I am sorry for my sin. Jesus, I turn from my sin, and I declare you Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave. And right now, I surrender my heart and my life to you as Savior and Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. If you prayed that prayer, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or minute for the first time today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand wherever you are so I can see it. Thank you. Slide it down. Anyone else? Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that after you repent and turn from your sin, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We stand ready to baptize every single week. Every single week we will baptize. So please, I'm going to be up here as soon as we're done. I'm going to stay here till everyone's left. Come talk to me. Let me help you walk through the next steps of being baptized. We want to help you do that. So please don't leave without talking with me this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for those lives who've turned around today. Lord, we thank you for intersecting those lives and saving people today. Father, thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we eat, I pray the fellowship will be sweet. Lord, thank you again for the food, and thank you for every person here, Lord. Bless them. Give them the greatest week they've ever had. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Don't forget, please, offering prayer cards. Elders and pastors, I need you up here. We're going to anoint someone and pray for them. So elders, all the elders, if you are ordained, please come. We're going to be praying for someone right up here, anointing with oil and praying. Please do not leave. Stay and eat. We've got lots of food. Please do not leave. Please, let's go eat that way. Do not go that way. Go that way. This way. Please stay and eat.